This is the Next Bite of Life podcast, the place to be to hear personal stories from expats, digital nomads, and everybody else taking their next bite of life. Hey, thank you for joining me on this episode of the Next Bite of Life. My name is Kem Kem. Today I've got Albert and Barbara Roldan on me, and they're going to tell me all about the story, how they left us, and how they ended up in Valencia, Spain. So say hello to everyone, Albert and Barbara.
Hello, this is Albert.
Hi, this is Barbara. Hello, everyone.
I'm so excited to have you guys, you know, on the show. I've been thinking about it for so long, and I'm like, oh, I got to do it. I got to do it. And then finally, I'm like, okay, now it's time to actually do it. They have a funny and very interesting story. So tell me, Albert and Barbara, how long have you been in Valencia?
We have actually been here coming up on 3 years. And I'm sorry, 2 years. And it's the best decision we ever made.
Oh, that's always good to hear. You know, there's a lot of people, especially lately, I've been getting a lot of mail. And everyone asks about Valencia. And people actually think I've only been here for a year because I wasn't writing about Valencia for the first 2 years that because I didn't want everybody to discover this place. But, you know, then I realized that Forbes and all the other big magazines had started talking about it. So I'm like, okay, the cat is out of the bag. I'll just start talking about it. So you've been here 2 years now and you're loving it. Let's take it back a few years. Okay. Where were you living in the U.S.?
We came from the San Francisco Bay Area. We were living about 40 minutes north of San Francisco in Marin County and made the decision to retire. And when we actually did retire, we went first to France for 3 years and enjoyed it, met fabulous people, but we were living in a very, very small village and came to realize that we are more city folk than we ever imagined.
Okay. So basically you were living in San Francisco and then you said, you know, I want to travel. I want to go and live somewhere else. How did that come about? Was it a slow process? Or you just knew that you wanted to leave and you were ready to go?
Well, actually, we had planned many years before to move to Europe in general, and we first fell in love with France, in particular Paris. So that kind of led eventually to retiring in France. And so our first stop was Paris, and then we went to the south of France where we lived just outside of a small village. But it was a long process, and It took many years for planning, but here we are, and now in Spain.
Wow. So when you left the U.S., apart from wanting to retire in Europe, was there anything, because a lot of people wonder if it's political, if it's, you know, or it was just a lifelong dream that you guys had, you wanted to leave the country and retire someplace, Europe in specific countries, right?
Right. I think for us that it was cost prohibitive a bit in the U.S., especially healthcare. It would have been difficult to do it on pensions and Social Security to cover housing and taxes and healthcare. That was one part of the equation. The other part was that we thought, you know, we've had our work lives and now we want to go do something that's not just fun, but also enriching, that we could learn a new culture and because we're getting older, try to learn a new language to keep the brains occupied and busy. So those were all things that went into the decision.
Oh, did this have anything to do with the wine in France? Was that a big part of the decision?
The wine and the cheese.
Ah, le fromage.
Oh la la.
Exactly. Oh, wow. That sounds so exciting because, you know, when you said you came for a second, you know, a lot of people, that's their dream. It's my dream to live at some point, you know. So to have somebody who was living there say, you know what, I want to go to France. But you're right, though. So when you think about the health, that is just insanely expensive for so many people. Everybody has to start thinking of someplace where they can comfortably on what they have or what they will have coming in, have it last them through their retirement years.
Right.
So it was a very smart decision.
We're happy with it. Yes. Yeah, we like to do that.
Yes. So you said, okay, your first step, did you have several countries in Europe that you were thinking of, or it was basically that was the thing, or dirt list?
Well, we always assumed France because that was our first love. We knew Paris' cost of living was probably a little bit high, and that's why we went to the south, where it was really very reasonable to live, but just a little too quiet. And we had started to visit Spain quite regularly and really were falling in love with it. So started making trips down here to see what's the best city, what was the best fit for us. And it kind of boiled down to we really wanted coastal. We missed the beach. Being inland in France, we didn't realize how much we missed the beach until we finally got to one and thought, oh, we miss water. Yeah, so, yeah. So we figured beach town, not too big, not too small. And Barcelona was up on the list, Malaga and Valencia, and visited them all again to kind of narrow it down. And every time we came back to Valencia, it was like, oh, this just fits. This feels right.
That's exactly what I said when we got here. It's amazing to find that people tend to say the thing. You know, they're like, not too big, not too small, because Barcelona was on our list. Mm-hmm. Malaga, as you know, we lived there for 7 months, and it just didn't gel. Now, the fact that what I really like about what you guys have to say, I've been talking to people recently about what I call experimental expatting, which means like you go someplace, you know, a lot of people feel like when they leave the US or when they leave their countries, they're locked into their job. But you guys show that, you know what, we went to France, we wanted to go to France, we tried it, it didn't, you know, it didn't fit. So we were looking for something else. Now, I know when you leave with all your belongings, now, was there some sort of, like, oh my God, I can't believe we did this. Did you ever have doubt that, you know, did you feel terrible? You didn't accomplish, you know, you didn't stay where you go?
No, not really. It was just a progression. We, as we said, you know, our first love was France, and we enjoyed the time in the south of France. But then we soon realized that it was just a little too quiet for us, as Barbara said. And of course, we wanted to be more coastal and in a small city, at least, and where we have more activity, mm-hmm. more involvement. In the south of France, there are very few expats, which that was not a priority because everyone says, oh, did you run into a lot of Americans? We didn't meet one American family there, but which we met a lot of wonderful French people. But we soon realized that, no, we didn't have any regrets leaving France. We regretted that we had to leave the friends we made there, all French, and just figured it was a progression getting to Spain. And again, we love it here, and we think it's the best decision we made.
Now, you brought all your stuff with you, so you had to ship everything. feel like it was a good decision to ship everything, or would you have left some things behind thinking about it now?
Now, having been through it, I would have brought a lot less. I think I'm happy that many of the things we brought that are family things and pictures that my father painted, furniture that's been in the family, those things I'm happy that I brought. But there are a lot of other things that now that I've moved them twice within France and now down to Spain, I think, what in the world was I thinking?
But they're such beautiful things, so you don't have to feel too bad about that. But just imagine, because I see they're precious, but they're super heavy, no?
Yeah, a lot of heavy wood furniture, but I probably would have lessened the load by about 40% if I had to do it over again.
I remember you saying something when the people came to move the stuff and realized they had to take it up the steps, right?
Yeah.
A lot of elevators in Spain are like the size, you know?
Right. And in our building, they don't even have the elevator option here. So I think they didn't love us too much. They were the sweetest people in the world, but as a joke on their way out, they said, if you move from this place, don't call us.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. Because I saw them like, they moved this up the stairs.
I'm sure we have a black X in their client book.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Now let's talk about the cost of living in France first before we talk about the cost of living for you guys here. How was the cost like on a monthly basis there, like the rent and all that? Was it super expensive?
Well, actually, the south of France, we pretty much cut our cost in half from the U.S., living in the San Francisco Bay Area. And after we left there, we thought, well, I mean, we couldn't do any better in Spain. And yet again, we found coming to Valencia, we cut our cost again in half of what we were paying in France. So, you know, in retrospect, wherever we ended up would have been great. But when you can cut your costs like that, well, it's even better yet, and you have a wonderful environment. And then in addition, meeting wonderful people.
Oh, you know, I'm so glad because everybody, at least quite a few people, I've met maybe, for all the people I've met in Valencia, I've met like maybe two people who didn't like it enough to move back. But for the most part, everyone seems to love it, and realize that it was a good decision. But what really amazes me is that I met people who just had no clue what Valencia was like about it, and they just came, and it's just it feels like it's one of those places where you almost think you almost know that you're going to like it before you get here. So it's nice to, you know, it really is true. When you get here, you end up loving it.
I think that's true. We've also met several people who were doing their research and pretty much picked Valencia out of a book and pictures on the internet and said, that looks right, and just took the jump. And all of those who've done that have stayed and are very happy. So it must have a little magical piece to it or something.
Yeah, I think so. Now you talk about the cost of living being even cheaper. I mean, it's hard for people in the U.S. to realize that. You know, you're in, well, we lived in Houston and Los Angeles, expensive places.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, but somebody in, you know, I don't know, Ohio or I don't know, some place that's really cheap might think, there's no way that I could have, you know, the same cost of living or even cheaper in Europe, because you hear, and it's almost like, Europe, you know,
right.
It seems so far away, so expensive. But you're telling me that, you know, right off the bat in France, it was already the cost of what you were spending in San Francisco. And then you moved to Valencia and even lower.
Yes. Wow. The only thing is with, you know, people may have a misconception, as you mentioned, about the euro, and you're going to exchange your USD to euro. And yes, there's a percentage that you'll lose, because it doesn't equate to the same as a dollar. But in the bigger picture yet, you still save considerably, so much money that you can truly, literally enjoy life and the thing that you couldn't imagine that you'd be able to do, travel extensively. And because you are in Europe, you're so central to many European countries, Middle East, everywhere. I mean, so many places you can get to so easily and inexpensively.
Is there something, I mean, that's absolutely wonderful, true. One of the major reasons when we started thinking about where to go and we started on Europe was also really able to travel for cheap. Because, you know, I comment on a YouTube video, he said, well, it must be nice to have so much money because they travel a lot and blah, blah. And I'm like, well, when you can get like a, you know, a flight to another country for like 20 euros, how do you not take it?
Exactly.
It's so cheap, you know, to go to Portugal from Valencia to Porto, a lot of times it's less than 30 euros, you know, per person. And so you get to visit so many places. And I know you guys have traveled, you're like the wandering expats.
Yes, yes.
Tell us about some of the favorite places you've been to in Europe.
Let's see. Well, we last year went to Lisbon for the first time, and that was really an adventure. And as you say, the airfare was so cheap. It was how can you not go?
Exactly.
And just being from San Francisco, we'd always heard people compare it with the bridges and the bay and all that. And we did feel it was very much a San Francisco vibe to it, and enjoyed walking up and down the hills like the old days in the city, and also have been able to take some really cheap flights to Milan and, of course, back to Marseille to visit people in the little village that we lived in. And we had many, many plans for this year. Of course, some of those are on hold due to our
situation. Up in the air.
Yes.
We had hoped, actually, the day of the lockdown, we were scheduled to fly to San Sebastian, and we were so excited to go try the tapas and see it. But, you know, it'll be there and we'll get there. So,
exactly. The urge to go out is not the time for gallivanting all over the place, right?
No, not so much. No.
But, you know, we have Valencia outside our front door and, you know, pretty things to look at here and the beach and the park. So if we're, you know, not able to really get on a plane anytime soon, we've still got a lot of really great things right here.
Very true. Now, let's talk about food. Now, really, you guys in France, really beauty heaven. How was it? How hard was it? France and the food scene.
France was fun because it's so regional, and you know the things that were common in Paris are not so common in the South. And you go one region over, and they're cooking with olive oil, not with butter and cream. So it was a little adventure wherever we were. You know, and as De Gaulle once said about how do you rule a country with so many varieties of cheese, we were barely working our way through them when we left.
Right.
But the good thing is the flights are so cheap, you can always go back whenever you want.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
So we will keep working on that list.
It's like, I'm sorry, Bridget has cheese that I have not tried yet. I must go. I travel for cheese. You know what? I think you should get like shirts that say that.
I like that. I think you have a slogan there.
There you go.
Yeah. And then in wine, in small parentheses.
Yes.
Well, maybe small parentheses.
How does the wine compare to the ones, how does the French compare to the ones in Spain? Do you find that the quality is just as good or a little bit lacking?
Well, no. I mean, I think they're good in both France and Spain. What we can say is they're like everything else in Spain, and particularly here in Valencia where we live now, that the wines are even less expensive. And as far as quality, France does wine very well, but I think that Spain in some cases does it even better. And one example, which in France, because champagne is so popular, that Cava, which is the equivalent in Spain, obviously, is just as good as some of the best champagnes we've had. So it doesn't lack in alcohol or wine and champagne.
That's great. Because, you know, a lot of people in France and out of Toronto, it's like, of course, it's superior. But, you know, like you said, there are so many different kinds of wine here that just gives them a run for their money. So, you know, it's great that you haven't had to, like, sacrifice buds for
no, not at all.
What about food? Do you think the food is just eating?
I think here, definitely the food, to be able to go out to eat, you can do it so much more reasonably here. In the south of France, we were excited when we'd find a menu del dia for about 20 euro.
Holy moly.
Yes. And so to come here and find them anywhere from, you know, 750 to 1250 was just amazing. And in France, there is not so much of like obviously a tapa culture, for lack of a better thing to call it, but they really have more of sit down meals. So you couldn't just say, I'm a little hungry, I'm going to just stop for a glass of wine and a croqueta. That didn't exist. You pretty much went for the meal.
For the meal.
I find the variety here and the ability to have one tapa or two or 10 is really nice. It's my choice.
Exactly. That's great. You know, you mentioned the menu idea. Somebody listening, 50 is like $9 or something like that, you know? So you, for that, you get an appetizer, you get a main, you get dessert, coffee, and sometimes that you get one bottle of beer or wine or water with it. I mean, think about that. Where can you get for that kind of price?
Yeah, it's impossible to do that, to really get a full meal like that. And that, because we aren't used to eating ourselves, you know, a starter, a main, a dessert, and all of that, it really does become the meal of the day. And, you know, once you've had something that filling midday, then, you know, lunch might, or dinner might be just a wine and a tapa, or just a bag of popcorn.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I was about to say that, because lately dinner has just been popcorn because we watch a movie. It's like, just get a bag of popcorn because you're so full from the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And it's just insane. For $7.50.
Yes, yes, you can't beat it. And thank God for popcorn.
Do you feel that the quality of life here is pretty good? It's me anyway. Do you think that the quality of life here is good, as good as the U.S., or you're just, or it's a whole different mindset because you came there, so you didn't really have time to relax?
Well, for us, we think the quality of life here is above and beyond what we could ever get in the U.S. And I don't say it being negative about the whole situation, but I think just overall the culture in Europe, and particularly which we find here in Spain, it's you know, people have said, well, you know, they're so laid back and everything and so on, but it means a lot because people take time to live life, and that their entire focus is just not work all the time. So in that regard, as retirees, it's different, but still the quality of life here is, like they say, tranquilo.
Yes.
Take it easy. No hurry. You know, don't rush. So definitely a different mindset and a more relaxed and leisurely lifestyle.
And was that hard to transition into? Well, you had some practice from France where it was a little, you know, did it make a huge difference having to kind of like be tranquilo, like once you got here, or just, you know, fitting right into it?
Well, we had eased into it, as you say, a bit in France, but once we got here, it was even more laid back, and it was pretty easy to adjust to. You know, you're always the first month or so in a new place, you're maybe a little apprehensive, wondering, you know, how does it feel? How have I made the right decision? We never felt that in either place, but especially in Spain, we from day one just felt right at home. It's been an easy transition. The people have been very welcoming. Albert does very well with his Spanish. Mine is not so great, but they're so patient with me and so willing to work with my bad verb tenses and all. And
yeah.
It's just been, it feels easy and lovely, and wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's so good to hear. You know, when you mentioned how people are so patient, when you make the effort to try and Spanish, it's great. They just appreciate it so much because I think they have a view of like, they're coming from America, I speak or trying to speak my language. When we were still in the U.S., he has a thick Italian accent, right? That's where he grew up. And people, you know, as soon as they started to argue with someone or talk to them, it would be like, go back to your country or speak in English or to speak the language. And here it's more like, oh, wow, you know, they're really patient. They stop and help you.
Yeah, we've had nothing but good experiences and have never been made to feel like, you know, we were outsiders or anything different. We just feel like we have been welcomed and that we fit right in.
Cool. How about the people that you met here? I'm talking about other expats. I know like it's a growing community of people from all over the world. How is it being Have you been able to meet people, like make friends easily?
Well, we have found it easy to make friends. And as you know, Camp Pimp, because of all the expat groups and forums on Facebook and so on related to Valencia or Spain in general. But living in Valencia has been the easiest transition from the U.S. for us in particular. Finding the groups and finding wonderful people like you and Fede and everyone else that we've run into. And I think it's just, again, it's not dependent on moving somewhere and finding expats, but enjoying the culture of that country and the people and what it has to offer. And whether it was expats or not, it's just a plus and it's a blessing that we have such wonderful expat friends, as you said, from all over the world. So that's a bonus.
Yes, definitely. And it's always good to hear that everybody's kind of like enjoying life. And it's been, you know, you mentioned the transition being so easy. It's, you know, when you plan things out and you do the things that you're supposed to do, the attitude of the people is so like, they're just chilled about everything. So when you move in, you kind of slide and find your groove. And it's so good because, you know, life is not meant to be like hard as we know it. We've had it back in the US. Right. It's time to, you know, just relax and tranquilo, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we find here is that it's no one is ever uptight about anything. And I know retirees shouldn't be, but we know a lot of retirees that can be. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. We understand. Yeah. And everybody has stresses of life, even when you're retired. But here we find that all of the expat population, everyone just seems to get along so well, at least the people that we've all met. And we all just are, you know, that's, I can't overstate tranquilo because that is what it is. Everybody's very chill.
Yeah, that's great. Now, what do you miss most about the U.S.? Apart from family and friends, the usual answer, even if I don't miss half of my family back there.
We understand.
And they know who they are.
Right.
I think the biggest thing, and it's so silly, but there's certain cooking ingredients or spices that blends, not because you can get any spice you want here, but just blends that you were maybe used to using, like Old Bay or Montreal steak seasoning or something.
Yeah, like Lowry's salt.
Exactly.
You're coming to this.
It's funny little things like that. It's much better here in Spain what we can get. When we lived in France, we couldn't find a good flour tortilla to save our life. And so when friends would come to visit, we'd say, of course, you stay with us and you stay with us free, of course. But
there's always a but.
Tortillas.
Yes, that's very important. I once had a friend bring me back Thomas's English muffins. I'm like, just freeze it and just bring it.
Absolutely. But those have been the biggies. I think most everything else we've either found a workaround or found something better or, you know, adapted. Or I actually came across quite by accident this week on a blog about chilies. The man had posted how to make your own Old Bay seasoning. So I can scratch that one off the list.
Exactly. It's true. I think, you know, being an expat really brings out the ingenious parts of you. You know, you're just like, okay, I don't have blue cheese dressing. What can I do? You like find things and then before you don't miss it at all. You find some workarounds, like you said, Barbara.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So would you tell your friends, don't bother me that?
Yeah.
So don't bring me anything. Stay with us for
The last people who came asked, and we said, just bring yourselves. At the time of several months back, I was having trouble finding baking soda. And so my good friend Chris generously brought me several boxes of baking soda.
I would have told you where to market. Right?
I should have asked you. I should know better, you would know.
That's great. Now I'm going to leave you with one last question. And what would be your advice? What advice would be who's thinking like moving out of not just America, but wherever it is that they live right now? And they say, hey, I listened to Albert and Barbara on the podcast. What would be your advice to somebody who's in that giant leap?
I would say do it, because this isn't a dress rehearsal. This is life. This is the one we get. And if it doesn't work for you, or you want it slightly different, as we did, you have the opportunity to change. We love France. We still love it. It just wasn't right for us for a day-to-day life. So we took the leap here. And so whatever people are thinking, it's an adventure. There will be wonderful things you'll learn about wherever you go, and may lead you to other adventures. So there's no reason not to. It will enrich your life in ways you won't even imagine.
Wow, that's fantastic. And that's great advice, because it's true. If you feel right or it doesn't match, you can always leave. I think a lot of people worry about like, oh, I told my family and friends that I'm moving to France. You know, if I don't do it, I'm a failure. And that's the way you should think, because really it's your life. And they say something for a second, but then they're gone. You need to like live for yourself.
That's true. Very true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you so much, you guys. This has been such a fun interview. I know I promised you about 20 minutes, but here we are. And I could go for a while about Valencia, but we'll leave it at that. And thank you, Albert and Barbara. It's been wonderful. I'm so glad you were able to squeeze me in for this interview. For anybody listening, to the podcast, I'll have, you know, a post. I'll have Barbara and Albert's information and lovely pictures for you to look at, so you can see what we're talking about. And that is it for this week. We will see you on the next episode of the Next Bite of Life podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show if you're enjoying listening to it. So Albert, Barbara, thank you once again.
Thank you so much. Kim, for this opportunity.
Much appreciated.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.